Are we the second podcast to have them on Rare?
Yes, but I think that we are the only fragrance podcast.
I think Los Angeles was their podcast exclusive. That's why.
That's but okay. That's if we're going to be beat up by anyone, I want it to be Los Angeles. And I'm keeping that in. Are we recording?
Yes. The second exclusive podcast interview with the Rare Beauty team.
I'm so excited. But before we get into that, I want to talk about something else because I have a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
Did you get Mary Philips MPH Beauty? And if so, who handles it?
Dude, it just showed up at my house. Nobody emailed me about this. It just showed up. And like, cool, I guess. It's a contour palette and I'm scared of it. But you know what? I did it. I tried it. And I was like...
I have thoughts. But I really like Mary Philips, so I'm excited to see.
Her whole thing is underpainting,
yeah,
which feels like a lot. It's not something I would do in my day-to-day, but as a makeup artist, I'm like, this is the artistry. This is why there's artists after makeup, because you understand this. I am not getting my photograph taken, so it doesn't...
Yes,
it's not relevant to my life.
I sometimes underpaint a bit. I think probably just my blush, because I don't do a ton of contouring like traditionally. Yeah. I haven't been lately, but I have the Lord's Natural Contour, which is a beard. But the Mary Philips underpainting is so light, and then her application is so light because she works with beautiful people with perfect skin. Well, then I'm like, exactly. This isn't like, girl, I think underpainting is a little bit of a reach here.
I'm overpainting. That's what I'm doing. But I don't really wear foundation. That's the thing. So I'm like, why would I wouldn't underpaint? Just single paint.
I'm just painting.
I'm just painting.
As usual, I'm jealous of you. But
well, apparently they'll send it to anybody. So I don't know why they sent it to me. I don't know how they got my address. It was a jump scare, but a pleasant jump scare. And now I'm like, I guess I'm cut now. Watch out, everybody. Call the police. I've been snatched.
I guess I'm cut now. I need you to revisit that. In other news, I sent a, some would say, threatening and combative email to Byredo and said, listen, I hear you are discontinuing my girl Pulp. What about that? And then lo and behold, a messenger showed up at my door.
Well, good. I thought you already had a backup of Pulp. Is this your backup to the backup?
No, I just have a front up of Pulp, but now I have a backup. Yeah.
Speaking of random messengers showing up at your door, this showed up at my door today. The third Anna Sui Sunday fragrance. I think when they initially sent me these ice cream perfumes, they were missing one, or I don't know. And then randomly, months later, they were just like, we have it now. Do you want it? And I was like, sure.
You know what? That's some good PR, though. This has been PR hour with Smell You Later. How is the Anna Sui scent? That one specifically.
I can tell you it is a little bit citrusy. I'm waiting for my steroid nasal rinses to kick in, so I'm a little bit not on at the moment. It goes in and out throughout the day. Now it's just not the time it's on.
Yeah.
But I sprayed it earlier, and I was thinking it would be like a banana, I think just because we've been hearing so much about banana, but I think it's just like lemon, citrus.
It's just yellow.
It's just yellow. It's the smell of yellow.
Oh, shit, I have to respond to that writer about this scent. Speaking of fragrance in general, I got the Rojas scents that you got, the one that people shop with the caps off of. And then I didn't realize that those were 10 mls of everything else.
Yeah.
They're like, have you smelled them yet? The four? Okay. It's they feel very summery. What I like to refer to as get your tits out fragrances. Like
those are like yachts in the south of like Mediterranean yacht fragrances, where it's like summer as interpreted by you go to Cannes and you go to like Greece and the Mediterranean, aka not my summer where it smells like Rockaway Beach, but it's very like rich people summering in Europe scent profile.
Okay, I'm with that. Yeah. I can't relate, but I'm with that. Selena Gomez is going to listen to this episode and be like, what the fuck have you done?
I would be surprised if she did listen to this episode, but if she is, hi, I love you. Hey. I love you. I love you in Only Murders in the Building.
You and my mother love that show.
It's good. You don't like it?
No, I didn't say I didn't like it. Okay. So listen, you can't say that. No, I just don't. I don't watch TV.
You know what? That's right. You're not a TV watcher, really. Which, how many hours of my life would I have? But I love TV.
Oh, believe me. I find plentiful ways to waste my time. I don't need the television's help with that.
Yeah. I want to know how Weapons was.
Oh, so good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so good. 10 out of 10, no feedback. Weapons was very good.
I will take myself to see it.
You should.
Yeah.
It's, I'm not going to tell you anything.
All of my friends hate scary movies. And once again, I have to reevaluate my friendships.
You know what? I think actually this one might be the movie for them.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not to say it's not scary, but it's
there's a jump scare, but not like gore.
There's jump scariness. It's a little front loaded with it. The whole thing is spooky scary, but it's more of a psych thriller. It's not like terrorizing you with jump scares the entire time. Yeah.
Okay.
It's great.
That's good. That's great.
Horror. Heard of it?
I'm in my scared era.
I've been in my scared era for 37 years because I'm back in what? Therapy.
You and me, but we're in our therapy era.
Therapy era. It could be worse.
Oh my God. This ties into the episode because of Rare Beauty's mental health initiative.
True. Selena, help us.
For the first time, fired a therapist.
Oh,
fired. I was just like, this ain't it, respectfully, and switched to somebody else. And I'm on my IFS journey. So let's hope that solves all of my problems.
It will.
Yeah.
I've been fired by one therapist. I think
it's you've been fired by a therapist?
Well, she was like, you don't need this. And I was like, bitch, are you sure? I disagree. And then I fired some therapists last year. But this one I'm feeling very good about. Round three, let's go. A three-peat. Okay. He better be because I'm paying out the ass for it. Anyway.
Dude, I feel like all the good therapists are the expensive ones.
Oh my God. I'm like, you better fix me. Yeah, that's true. Maybe I'll go back to being anxious.
It's not so bad. It's not so bad. I'm living. It's fine.
Say, what do you smell like today?
Thank God. Okay, so I smell like Harlem Perfume Co. Billy.
Oh.
I remember this is one of the scents they sent me that I didn't get a chance to try, and now I did, and it's beautiful. It's based on the gardenia, the white flower that Billie Holiday wears in her hair.
Oh.
It's really pretty. And again, please excuse me because I'm smelling the flag is half staff. The nose flag is half staff. I got the gardenia, which is really lovely. It was a transparent veil of a white floral, which was nice.
Okay.
And it's so hot and not super humid. It's just like kind of gross out today. And I had a lot of errands in the city and I was like marching around. I'm wearing a linen dress. And this is the perfect scent because it's like such a pretty, fresh, but delicate scent. So it's really nice for a very hot, muggy day. Or in general. I think Billy is definitely my favorite of the bunch.
Really?
Yes. I do like Golden Muse and Showgirl. They're a little bit more va-va-voom. I think I like Golden Muse a little bit more than Showgirl, but I do feel like Billy will take me more places than Golden Muse will.
Oh my God. Showgirl. Yeah. The life of a showgirl. They're about to fucking sell that shit out. Congratulations, Harlem. It's in the right shade of orange, too.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. You're right.
Damn.
Wow.
Love.
Yeah. I feel like Taylor Swift releases an album every year, every other year. The cadence is a lot.
Now that we're past the re-records, I'm going to be interested to see what the cadence is.
Oh, true. I forgot about that. I was like, this is all recycled material, but what is it called? The Last Showgirl? No, that's a movie.
No. The Life of a Showgirl.
The Life of a Showgirl. Is that how she thinks about herself? Yeah, technically.
Last time I talked to her, I didn't ask that question.
What it's like selling out the world's most profitable tour.
Yeah, literally.
Tynan, what do you smell like today?
Oh, I have another bone to pick with you because I'm wearing it because of you.
Oh, I love when you do stuff because of me.
So
begrudgingly.
Begrudgingly. No, it's not begrudgingly. I remember that you put me onto this and I liked it a lot. So I revisited it this week. Basically, truly all I've been wearing this week is the Rare fragrance because I wanted to get to know it a little bit. I thought I wanted to mess around with the layering of it all. But when I didn't, I have been wearing Super Amber from Alice Brooklyn.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's a good one, man. It is very not my fragrance energy.
It's not a tight.
No, not at all. It's, and we know that we hate language like this, but if anything deserves this title, this is one of them. It is more of a skin scent.
It's like,
ever imagine perfume as a texture, the web copy leads us to. Cozy, super warm, addictive. Ooh, scent that envelops like a cashmere blanket on warm bare skin. I think that kind of sums it up. I mean,
yeah, cashmere blanket on warm bare skin is absolutely it.
Yeah. And the only notes it has in it are amber, vanilla orchid, Virginia cedarwood, and musk. And
that's all you need to know.
It's all you need to know. It's so beautiful. It's so soft. Skin scents to me always go dry and almost. And this has,
you know, a little sweeter.
A little sweeter. Yeah. And it's not sweet like I like gourmand through the ceiling, but it's just got this like hint of skin like sweetness that I think is like the amber. And God, say like one more time. I'm going to hear about that one in the comments. But it's just so nice. And I'm not going to say it's bold because it's not, but it's intentional. But mm-hmm. it wears really close to the skin, but consistently. I really mm-hmm. like this. It's not something I wear every day. You know what I mean? But it is, I think, an underrated banger in the Alice Brooklyn collection. And I know, I think we're out of our skin tone era, but I think there are people who definitely still gravitate toward them, which is valid, of course. Yeah. But y'all are missing out on this one.
No, they're not. It's a very popular perfume.
I don't think it is.
I think it is. I hear about it on the TikTok all the time.
Really? Well, I'm not on TikTok like that.
It's all like ever... it's often discussed in rhetoric with the Glossier You wearers of the world. A lot of people also are like, my boyfriend loves this scent. And I'm just like, okay.
I love this scent and I am everyone's boyfriend.
The world's boyfriend.
The world's boyfriend. Guys, if anyone would want to date me besides with one poor schmuck who does. I say that screaming with my door open and him in the other room. Anyway, really excited about the episode today. We got a little bit of an exclusive. List publicist reached out to us from Rare wanting to talk. And I was like,
you were on it.
Are y'all releasing a fragrance or what?
Like, yeah, you knew. You were just like, so it's a fragrance, right?
I didn't have a sign of embargo, but obviously we understand confidentiality. So yeah, we're really excited they reached out to us. Super excited that we're making this episode happen. Sable, what are your... I guess we're not first impressions anymore because I think we've been living this for about living with this fragrance for about a week. But like, what do you think?
I like the scent.
Yeah,
it was not what I expected. I think having smelled the Comfort body care line, I thought it would be like, I thought it would be an iteration of that.
Totally.
So I was a little surprised that this was a lot more punchier, a lot more vibrant, a lot juicier, and more had a little bit more va va voom to it, if you will. Yeah. It's definitely a scent the girlies will love.
Yes.
Am I the girlies? Sometimes I am. Sometimes I am. But most of the time, I'm afraid of them. But I want to be them. I think the bottle is obviously equally the star of the show.
Totally.
I thought it was so cool how they designed this and how it was so intentional and is also just beautifully done. And this should be in a museum. This should be in one of those like design museums.
Yeah.
The layering balms really intrigued me. I was a little skeptical. I was like, this might be a little gimmicky, but those balms really project.
Like, crazy.
They project in a crazy way. And it feels like a silicone-y texture, almost like a makeup primer.
That I really like.
Yeah, so it has grip. It sticks on your skin and it absorbs the fragrance when you spray it on it. And it really, they all really morph the scent in strong directions, which is impressive, I think.
Yes, yeah.
I tried it with the Woody and it turned the fragrance into kind of like almost a really nice, like, masculine, almost cologne-y type scent.
I cannot believe how pungent the Woody one is. Yeah. It is truly, like, aftershave vibes.
Yeah. And I was really impressed by that. And then I tried it on the Vanilla Amber, and that just made it, like, so much more gourmand, so much more...
But the Vanilla Amber of it all is... Again, I think I said this before, but it has so much depth to it that...
Yeah,
it,
it's like almost so like, smoky.
It's like tobacco-y.
Yeah.
It's so good. This isn't an EDP, but...
Yeah.
So good. I tried the Bergamot, and I actually tried the floral like this morning, and I'm not a floral person, so...
Same.
I think my opinion is irrelevant, but it's pretty. Yeah. It's like a...
It's pretty.
Fresh,
it's very pretty. Yeah.
It's a fresh, dewy floral, I think. Yeah, it's nice.
It's really beautiful. It's really... The whole launch, I think, is really well done.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, they launched in Sephora, so I'm assuming that Sephora had some word in the final product, of course.
Sure.
But in this case, the scent profile, the layering balms, and, like, the whole rollout, I think, is still really unique to Rare. Mm-hmm. Like, Rare is definitely, like, the star of Sephora, like, for sure. So it just made sense that they would do a launch like this that would... be crowd-pleasing, but at the same time through their own lens and through their own point of view.
Totally. I think that they obviously developed it with their specific consumer in mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think were we to play like the benchmark or reference game, we could throw names out there. But from our conversation, it sounds like this took a lot of different roads before they landed here. I was selfishly excited that they went gourmand, but to me it feels like a radiant, like cashmere-y warm gourmand. Mm-hmm.
If you didn't tell me it was a gourmand, I would not have assumed that.
I
was thinking more floral amber.
But no, this leans, it like nods to floral amber, but to me it's like an ambery gourmand. I don't know. It's beautiful. All
yeah,
of its edges
ambery
are,
gourmand is a good way to put it.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah. All of its edges are rounded in a really effective way. It's just magnetic and warm. It's really, really nice. Yeah. Am I going to go back to it every day? Probably not, but I will definitely be wearing it again. I can see a lot of people in the same way that I think about killing in love, don't be shy. I can see a lot of people wearing, feeling the same way about this. And by that, I mean, I love Love, Don't Be Shy. I don't wear it every day, but it is like my comfort fragrance. And I go back to it quite a bit.
A comfort fragrance,
And this is, I feel like I need that to a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I do actually really love the comfort, the scent of the Comfort body line. And I wish that was an EDP, but they also have a body mist of it. So I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. You know, you probably don't need an EDP. It's nice. It's in Sephora.
Yeah.
I've smelled it when I went in Sephora. I, for whatever reason, was not on Rare's radar at the time they launched. So like I never got the lowdown on that, but it's in every Sephora, so you can just go smell it.
But now we are, because they reached out to us, which is so exciting, because Fenty said no. But yeah.
They did? Just, I don't even remember.
I think we said quite enough about that.
Yes,
let's
we
jump
have.
Into it.
Yeah. Okay.
My name is Joyce Kim. I am the Chief Product Officer here at Rare Beauty, and I have the pleasure. I mean, wow, what a blessed job I have. I always have to kind of pinch myself and be like really grateful for what I get to do every day. But on the product development side, I work really closely with Selena Gomez, our founder, to bring her vision to life in all facets. So from her idea and inspiration to making that into a reality of whether it's scalable, whether we can produce it, whether we can make the formula work out, it's compatible, it's stable, and we can bring it to market. And working really collaboratively within the Rare Beauty team itself, with obviously our commercial team to make sure we're at a price point that our consumers are looking for. We work in the retail space that we're in, and then partnering obviously with our marketing teams to make sure that there's a cohesive story around the inception and ideation of the product and why it works for us. So I always think of product development in our space as kind of like the spoke of the wheel. We really thrive, obviously, innovation, but the timing and if we can make it a reality, and obviously working with so many other people, it takes a village to bring something to market, but obviously in a really collaborative way. So yeah, lots of fun, lots of different hat wearing, always learning new things and dealing with new situations, but never a dull day.
Great.
I'm sure not. Doesn't sound like it.
Yeah, we're fans of your work. So
yes,
whatever
you're
doing is working.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I was talking to our COO because I don't do usually a lot of podcasts because I love just being on the back end and efficiency is my love language. I love when things happen the way that we wanted it to and control. And specifically for this launch, to talk so much about our perspective on fragrance, a new category for us. I've had to engage in a lot of these like conversations and I'm getting so much wonderful feedback, but it really does take so many people that really put their blood, sweat, and tears into this. So I really have to commend this amazing team that I'm lucky enough to work with, and with obviously Selena for being, you know, our inspiration through all of this. So the accolades are shared with everyone.
Great. So, it's always a team effort, right?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Joyce, what are you smelling today?
Oh, well, all like for the last 2 weeks, every day has been obviously our new eau de parfum, just simply called Rare. The top notes are caramel, pistachio, and pink pepper. The heart is vanilla, ginger, and cocoa beans. And the dry down is sandalwood, tonka beans, and skin musk. So really, I think a lovely journey for all olfactory senses. Yeah. And then layered with woody oak. Woody oak's my jam.
Ooh.
Yeah, I love smelling like man.
I was thinking that.
Yes.
Because that was the first fragrance balm I tried layered with the fragrance. And I was like, ooh, this kind of smells like a nice men's cologne a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I was
into it.
Like always wearing men's deodorant as a kid. Like when you first, I mean, first of all, Asian. So really the question of whether we need that one is also something that's been brought up. My mother is like, she's like, man, I don't even wear deodorant. I'm like, a lot of information, but still like, did I really need deodorant at 12? Probably not.
I did, yeah.
But
I did not get that gene.
I love the smell of a men's deodorant. And it was like Old Spice back in the day.
Yeah.
And so I've always gravitated towards that. And when we were developing this fragrance, you know, obviously it's so personal and so subjective to whoever, you know, is smelling it and what their own fragrance profile is. that we were like, oh, is it netting out or Mondi? Is it not going to be as, you know, neutral for all genders to want to wear? Mm-hmm. And so that was a conversation of like, how do we customize these? But Woody Oak was one of the first we developed because we thought it was a great option for perhaps somebody that wanted something a little bit more masculine and woody. So
very cool.
I was actually really taken aback by mm-hmm. just how assertive and, I guess, for lack of a better term, Old Spice coated the woody layering balm was. I was mm-hmm. really surprised, I think pleasantly, because even when we talk about genderless fragrances, so many of them are afraid to go that sort of, you know, that bold in that yeah. way. And it was like a really pleasant surprise from Rare.
Oh, thank you. Well, we took a lot of, oh my gosh, there was so much information we were gathering about when we enter this new category, like you love color, but fragrance was just so fun for the team because it was so new for many of us. We have so many mm-hmm. makeup experts on the team that can give so much insight and into color and from an artistry perspective, from a consumer perspective. But fragrance is, it's like mascara. It's so personal. And when you find mm-hmm. your go-to mascara, it's a hard, you know, pivot if you wanted to try something yeah. new and stick with it. And I feel like fragrance is the same way, although I think people are wanting to more and make something a little bit more ownable for themselves. But we, when we studied genderless, neutral fragrances that were on the market, a lot of them were like second skin, which just based mm-hmm. on the cords themselves don't have that long-lasting wear that you, that what we also found on the flip side was the biggest feedback about second skin fragrances was that they just don't last long. And we knew that from like an efficacious long wear perspective, that was more important to us than being like in this soft neutral space. So we're like, all right, let's go hard because people are going to expect these bombs not only to transform the EDP, the Eau de Parfum, but also add a level of long wear if we can. And they do extend the wear of the fragrance themselves by layering with this texture and with the fragrance load that's in them. So thank you for noticing that. That was also like, oh my God, are we going the right way? Lots of conversations around that one, but a lot of great feedback initially. So it's been really great.
Yeah, I was impressed at how they had such a projection for a solid or not solid, like a lotion-y type material.
Totally. Yeah. I also, not to spin ourselves out immediately on the layering balms, but I was really upset, am really obsessed with the amber vanilla one. It has so much depth. I think I told Sable, you could tell me that was a, like tobacco forward fragrance mm-hmm. and I would believe you in a very positive way. It's
amazing.
Obsessed. Yeah. And I guess like, we will get to the questions in a second, I'm sorry. But talking about the sort of second skin of it all, I was really thrilled to see and feel that Rare, one, didn't go that direction. Two, wasn't afraid to like lean sweet, but also I think overall just have a perspective because we know that large brands like Rare and mass retailers like your partners sometimes are afraid to actually have a perspective. And when I first smelled this, I was like, okay, wait, no, we're doing something here. This is great. And it also appeals to like my sensibility. So I think that helps, but...
The countless conversations we had, the back and forth of trying to appease all of those things, we knew what was, for lack of better words, the safe route, the expected yeah. route should be. But then we really like, and I have to tell you, in the 2.5 years of working on this, the amount of iterations we had going from one end of the spectrum of like mm-hmm. starting in second skin, I mean, that seemed most natural for us, to then swinging the pendulum all the way to where we netted out, was peppered with those questions of strategically think about like, how do we usually approach makeup? What is our perspective as a brand to begin with? And how important it is for us to stand by our brand pillar and the ethos of Rare anyways. And it would behoove us to like not do it in a way that made it different and like ownable. And so that's triggered the conversations, the layering balms, which were and obviously an addition to the Eau de Parfum as well. And then the packaging design too. But we were like, if we're going to do it, we really have to do it with so much intention and thoughtfulness, because it's a category where there's so much that exists that and so many players that do it so wonderfully well that we have to find a lane that makes sense for us and stand by the messaging and the perspective of Rare in that lane.
Totally. Nice. Paid off.
Thank you.
Thanks. I'm curious, what was the brief like to create the scent?
Well, I mean, it was an evolving brief. I'm sure the fragrance house could say that. I mean, it was a long journey. And thankfully, we partnered with the fragrance house that was so wonderfully accommodating with all the questions that we have, the journey of the consumer as well. Because within that time, I always equate rare as evolving as well, because this is our fifth anniversary this year, September, of our brand launch. Oh, wow. So when we were already like kind of talking through this and ideating it, we were already evolving as a brand. And so the many iterations not only came from Selena wanting something, smelling something and saying that's not right, but then also taking into consideration, wait, who is the consumer? What does the brand evolve to? Where do we see ourselves in 2 years and 5 years and 10 years and working through that? So the brief changed so much, but we were strategic in launching our body care line, Find Comfort first, because we always had a perspective. When we launched Rare Beauty, we had a really clear message about it's makeup made to feel good in. We're not dictating to you how you should look. You should embrace your features. If you want to play them up, tone them down, whatever it is, you own that. There's no one telling you what beauty means. And so when we decided to go into body care, it was body care made to feel good in, your skincare made to feel good in. And we really focused on fragrance because Selena was really obsessed with essential oils at the time and equating self-care with fragrance, how it made her feel calmer during the day. She, you know, takes an hour out of the day to really like have a moment of herself free from devices, free from the world around her, where she really has to decompress and connect. And really, body made so much sense for us. And when we launched, there was such amazing feedback about the fragrance we had launched with for the first Find Comfort collection. Conversation of, okay, fragrance should be the next thing. It's been so overly positively welcomed by that space. And so fragrance just became the natural category for us to do next. So,
I guess to build on that question, and I don't mean to make you put yourself, but I think that seeing the fragrance boom that we've witnessed in the last 5 or so years, it would have not shocked me for a brand of your size to fast track the fragrance, maybe before body and all of that. But once I saw that body collection, I was like, fragrance is coming. I know it. But what was the decision? Like, how did you know it was right to tiptoe your way into fragrance instead of moving it up and getting something out, if that makes sense?
I think we try to always approach face with something that leads with innovation. We don't want to just be a brand that's kind of following the trend is, whether that's from like a sell-through perspective or a glittery finish perspective. Day one, when Selena and I started working on this brand, the most important thing to her was, I don't want to be a trend chaser. Like, I don't want to be that brand that's always like, what is viral on the next social media platform where we're just rushing to catch up. Like, I'd rather be the hero brand that people know I make great product for everyday wear that's like efficacious. And so we were, kind of internally, we were calling it the go-to product. What's your go-to mascara, your go-to skin tint, your go-to lip balm, that kind of thing. That was our perspective when we were looking at the white space of products to launch. And then from there, layered in was sensoriality and texture, efficaciousness. And then all of a sudden, we were getting this credit for making, you know, designing packaging that was accessible. And that was not planned. That was something that came after we launched from the feedback from our community. So when we started thinking about new launches after we had launched the Made Accessible initiative, that was something that was like super clear that here was a community, a population of people that for the first time felt seen by something that we had not inherently intended, but we were happy to get this feedback and then work with this amazing research and rehabilitation center at Casa Colina to like validate. And so we internally were like, all right, we should internally make it a point that every year we invest, because it's a time investment, it's a monetary financial investment to make custom packaging that's accessible and do all the testing we can do to validate that. So when we were thinking about launching into fragrance in a category that's existed for so long, like how do we come in a way that we differentiate ourselves, we bring innovation to the table? So that was a long process of design, to be honest. It was working with these hand therapists, it was testing and validating and making samples and models and making sure that we were really doing our best to make something that obviously was visually appealing and beautiful, but also functionally doing what we were promising, basically.
Before we talk about the bottle design, what were, for the listeners who don't know, so what were the original rare products that did have these accessibility features unwittingly?
So we were finding that our soft pinch liquid blush, our liquid touch foundation. Ooh, yes, you have one. Totally your shade, by the way.
Thank you.
Concealer, soft pinch lip oil. I mean, that Mentos is what's called.
The little M&M
on the cap became like super iconic for us. It's like a silhouette that is now inherently part of Rare and becomes symbolic of Rare itself. And so what we were finding is that extended little Mentos, people could get a better grip on it and use the leverage of that to twist the cap open. And it wasn't by design where Selena was like, I need something like that. But clearly with her own experience with lupus and the challenges she faces with her dexterity strength, she probably gravitated towards it without even purposely knowing that that was providing that help for her. And not even just from a design perspective, but we learned a lot from, for some, you know, shapes, adding a matte coating helps you have a better grip on things. Yeah. Those types of things. Mm. We have a Kind Words lipstick and we have a Stay Vulnerable glossy lip balm that actually has a flat bottom. So it looks like a half racetrack. And people that have vision issues were like, oh, it doesn't roll off my table. Like very small, mindful changes that for us, we were like, oh, it's aesthetically pleasing and you don't have to worry about it rolling off your table. Like that really helps people that have actually disabilities that they're dealing with that make it harder for them to function at a level that they would like to be, or that what people expect them to be, I guess. So these little things really added up to so much for this community, really working through Casa Colina's patients that volunteered to be part of this like claims testing was so beautiful and moving, because take for granted all of these little design things, you know, and for them it's daily functions that made these women feel beautiful, you know. So that was really amazing to hear. Yeah.
It's powerful.
I wanted to talk about, so we have the bottle and I've heard you've touched upon this in other interviews, how the atomizer is the whole top. So you can use your whole hand, you can use your palm. It's not just like one finger that you have to use all of your strength to press down on it. And the locking mechanism is really clever too. And then I was curious, just because I wouldn't know this, it's like a squat shaped bottle. Why that instead of, for instance, like a cylinder?
Well, we wanted it to be able to, your fingers to wrap around the top and to provide enough leverage with the base of your palm as well. Because as it got taller, and we also had people with smaller hands also tested as well, because the cutout in the back is also super intentional. It gives you more space for your top of your hands to cover it. So you have more leverage if you're using multiple fingers. So really, size perspective was like a huge part of it. We were like, okay, if we go 10% bigger, like how does that really impair someone that might have smaller hands? Or does that allow an average hand size to be able to get, you know, most of their fingers over it to like really use the atomizer if they are lacking in strength in there? So all of those proportions were really taken into consideration, the hand therapists that we worked with, and then with the packaging engineers, because the reality of these types of, you know, customizations is that we can, on pen and paper, dream up anything. And then the reality of whether it can actually be made is very different. And so there was some iterations where it was actually like a squeeze bottle, like think of like a Windex bottle or something like that. I mean, at the end of the day, beauty is such a, like you want to pull out your lipstick or your fragrance and be like, oh, it's so pretty and it sits on my vanity, and you want to like feel a level of elegance or elevated or a special moment. Yeah. So we had to balance. I mean, when we met with these hand therapists, it was so funny because they were like, all right, add some rubber on the bottom so this thing never slips anywhere. And you put a handle on the side. Like all these things were like, guys.
It's going to look like a Stanley cup.
It's going to look like a big old to-go coffee mug, like a Stanley cup. At the end of the day, it needs to be, you know, for lack of a better word, cute and, you know, like comfortable. Yeah. And so we really had to find a balance of like the things that we thought could really help immediately. And then, you know, for us at Rare, we're just so excited that it's become a talking point and conversation in the space. And our dream is that other brands hop on and even make it better, right? Because there's so many amazing, huge brands out there that have the resources and the power to do that. And so we just wanted to get the conversation started, and we're so excited to see what, you know, evolves in this space.
Yeah, your move, L'Oreal.
Yeah.
Well, this is the benchmark now.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
Well, and I think it speaks so well to the Rare sort of ethos.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like a packaging move like this really just shows that the brand is really about it. It's, you know, Sable and I being behind the scenes in beauty, we know that custom moldings, et cetera, are not easy or affordable. And how long would you say that this component took to design?
To design, and then with the partnership of like validating those designs to make like scalable and produce, I would say at least 6 to 9 months. And then there's iterations. Okay. So a lot of the reason it took so long is it's a huge financial commitment to do this.
Oh, yeah.
There's many pieces to this. If you broke this apart, you would see all of the insides of this actuator and how complicated it is. But for us to be an independently owned brand, to be able to afford that, like we needed to have already launched. We needed to have the ability to know that this was a risk that we were to, at the end of the day, pay for, you know. And the lead time for this design, the actual ins and outs of back and forth of like adjust this, make a model, how does it look, meet with the hand therapist, that probably took 6 to 9 months. And then when you actually go into the tooling, which is like making it and producing it, you have, I think, 4 to 5 months of like fine tuning it. And it's really about, oh, at the end of the day, this twist situation, oh my God, the lock situation, like it has to be changed to this, but can we adjust the height a little bit? So many negotiations of like, okay, if we do this and we can't do that. And then all the tests that go with once you finalize the juice itself, how does that work with the formula inside and everything from the deco that we chose, the tint of the glass and all those things. Like it was a 2.5 year process of, all right, should we do it to like launch date? So it's been a labor of love.
That is crazy.
So for us, like on the product development side, you know, we are working like 2 years in advance. So a part of us is like, oh my God, we've so moved on. That's only other thing.
Right.
But we've been in it because all the way up to its shelf, we're so involved still. So it's been a journey. But it's like seeing all the positive sentiment has just been so worth it. It's been great.
Yeah. Totally. It's almost like considering all of this new, innovative, like never been done before kind of componentry. 2 years is not that long.
True. And honestly, when...
Yeah.
And I like the things that we did change when we think back, like, it seems like such low-hanging, feasible things to do, you know? It's just from roadblocks and barriers, like costs are a huge part of that. And I've met a lot of amazing people through this journey that have had thoughts themselves about creating an accessible line, and it always comes down to the cost of creating a whole makeup line with this type of accessibility. Yeah. It's just so hard.
Custom plastic molds are insanely expensive. And it's one thing that I just don't understand in 2025. But I'm like, how do we have all of this? And it's still five figures to make a custom plastic mold.
I hear you. Yeah. Shocking for sure.
I'm curious to know, how does developing a fragrance differ from your experience developing color cosmetics?
I think that I mentioned it before. It's like mascara. It's like those categories that are like super loyalty driven, that are really personal, that I can equate it to.
Yeah.
In terms of like a lip gloss or lipstick, eyeshadow palette, those types that are like really color focused, very different. Because those are, for lack of better words, you know what shades are really driving sales. You know what shades are trending at the moment. Sure. But fragrance is a beast of like, oh my gosh, you get one, you know, shot to really appeal to all these people that have a perspective of like what they love and what they don't like. And that was part of the 2.5 year process too. Because yes, there was the component side, but in parallel to that was actually developing the juice. All of the iterations we went through were really time consuming because we would collaborate with everyone in the company. Because at the end of the day, everyone here is a potential consumer, right? And everyone we know has a perspective on what is their hero fragrance, what do they like? And it was a learning process of, you can't appeal to everybody, obviously. And through the many iterations, we went through like 25 different fragrance samples that we had. I mean, that started from skin musks all the way to like woody to then fruity and floral and all of these things. And really educating ourselves on the PD team, but then also the company as a consumer of like understanding different olfactory categories. What are they drawn to? Would they buy this for someone else? That was a question we forgot to ask at the beginning of like, do you like it? And people would just be like, no. And I'm like, okay, I kind of need more information. And our like questionnaire became much more detailed after that. We were like, all right, we want real feedback we need to include. But it's definitely one of those fragrances to me, like mascara and foundation or like a complexion product. Specific and so time consuming, and you really like, oh my gosh, hope that it works out. And we have only had two instances where unanimously the entire company was on the same page of liking this fragrance. At the end of the day, Selena narrowed it down to two that she liked, but they were very similar in terms of like fragrance categories and everyone wants options. So we did like a full like 8 different fragrance at the end of the day, all of them representing different olfactory families, highlighting different accords. And everyone unanimously voted for this particular fragrance way more than the second all the way down to the 8th. And the only other time this ever happened to us was with our mascara. And it was, wow. How does this happen? And with our mascara, we ended up really marketing that to work for, it's a universal volumizing mascara because we found that it worked for people with different eyelash types. So like lash types are synonymous with hair types. Mm-hmm. So for me as an Asian woman with like 5 lashes that go straight down and aren't even there, my mascara usually is not the same as Angela, who's on my team, who's Armenian and has these beautiful, full, lush lashes. But we were finding that based on your lash type, everyone was liking it. And we love doing these claim verifications that cost a lot of money and take a lot of time. But we ended up doing a claims verification process with 4 different types of groups that have different lash types and validating that the mascara volumizes those lash types and approaching it in that way. So for the 2 very hard categories, we got really lucky with a unanimous decision for those. So
that's wild. It sounds like too, throughout the process, like you said, you went down every road before you started going down the road of what would then be your final fragrance. I know that you already sort of touched on how it was a group effort, but I'm just curious, maybe from a personal, professional POV, how do you, when you're working with one of the biggest celebrities in the world, and also you, a marketing expert, and your marketing team, and who I'm sure was a principal perfumer, how does that balance of objectives and expectations shake out throughout the process and lead you here?
Well, it's complex, as you can imagine, but at the end of the day, Selena really drives that vision for us, because what we've learned is inherently, as long as Rare is authentic to her and her vision and her perspective on beauty, on fragrance, and everything to come, it makes so much sense to our consumer. And we worked with an amazing, they call Nose, with a perfumer who had so many insights to give to us. And that journey of starting, like I'd said, in like Second Skin all the way, that was also Selena's own personal journey through learning about fragrance too. I've mentioned this before in other interviews, but she loves going to Sephora. She loves buying fragrances. And then we all know the last couple of years have been this gourmand era where everyone has been living in vanilla. And so a lot of that influenced it, as well as she was like going shopping and saying, oh, I thought I used to be a Second Skin girl, but now all I'm smelling is gourmands. Like, what if we ventured into this? And then that's how we netted out into the gourmand world. But then a perspective of like, how do we make it ownable to us? What are the accords we can add? How do we approach this so that it's not just another sweet fragrance, adding some layering and complexity that makes it Rare? And one of the things that she's been saying as she's been speaking about the fragrance herself is like, she went through some of the best moments of her life while developing this fragrance personally. And I think that comes across in how we got to this place and how she feels. I mean, I feel like the fragrance is super sexy. It's got this sweetness, but a cut of the spiciness with the ginger. And I feel she was coming into her own. And I don't want to speak for her, but I know that from her personal perspective, like so much confidence grown in the last 2 years, you know, with all the things that she has going on in her life. And so I feel like when we approach product, we're so inspired by her and what she's going through, then all the products hopefully resonate and show that that's where we were in that time and space.
Oh, that's so sweet. Because I was like, didn't she get engaged within the past?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah. That's so nice.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
I think it's also pretty cool that Rare, like you said, is obviously inspired by Selena and what she loves. But Rare does a really incredible job, more so than many celebrity fragrance brands, of living apart from Selena too. Like Rare, I feel like has its own reputation that lives in conjunction with, but also apart from Selena. I think that that's a hard balance to strike, I would
say. Yeah, I mean, we owe that so much to our community. I mean, we have the most supportive, engaged community. And when we think about our brand pillars, obviously, we are trying to bring to life everything that Selena envisioned, but so much of that is living in authenticity and living in the mental health space. And that's such a key, you know, pillar for us, that everything comes back to that. And as we approach product development, it's having a team that she can trust and rely on to navigate the space, as it's always evolving with new platforms, new trends that are happening, but really giving her, you know, our expertise and our wisdom and guidance to like make the right decision. Mm-hmm. But when I think about Rare, of course, we're so intrinsically linked to Selena. She's the founder of this brand. But what moves me most is the community. I mean, just even hearing the feedback we're getting about the bottle itself, it's been such an emotional launch for everybody. As much as, you know, we love Selena's love for the fragrance and all the work she put into it, the response back from this community has been so wonderful. And that's what drives us and inspires us too.
Oh. Yeah. I feel like consumers are so used to being marketed at. So when they encounter a brand that like, A, provides quality products that do what they say they're going to do, but then also have a statement, have an ethos and actually stick to it and innovate upon it and really give proof of concepts, it goes so far. And it's crazy to me that I'm just like, it's so simple to just deliver what you promise. And yet so many brands flop at this.
And bring them into the fold, too. That too, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you said, it's not marketing too. It feels like more conversational.
It's for you, not at you.
I think there are certain topics in this space that continue to come up with, like, where do you see beauty moving? Whether it's clean, sustainability, accessibility, like those have to be part of your inherent DNA. You can't envision them as like a trend that you're just doing for the moment. And so that's why we try to approach things with intent, knowing that, okay, if we're going to do this, then there is going to be an expectation from our consumers and from our community. Like, what is the next iteration of this? And that's something that we have to be accountable for. And we're like to be able to commit to that. Again, it's like trying to change this industry to move in a way. We just want to start the conversation, right? We just want to be a part of it and want to see it grow, but we're happy to be able to really make that a part of our brand ethos and stick by it, as expensive as it may be, because the reward is so great. I mean I've been seeing so much positive sentiment about the fragrance itself, obviously on like TikTok and stuff, but where people really are finding that the component is useful for them and it works for them. Like, those are what drive us at the end of the day. So
totally.
Yeah.
I know that we talked about it like off the rip, but do you want to walk us through the layering balms that came out with the, or alongside the fragrance at launch? I think that this is an incredibly timely and not only on trend, but innovative way to layer the fragrance. And I would love to just hear more about maybe when that thought came into the funnel of this.
Yeah. The texture itself came way early on, actually, when we were working on the Fine Grit collection. Like I'd mentioned, Selena was really into essential oils, and she was always using these sticks, the essential oil sticks that she would put on her pulse points. But one of the biggest feedback about it was she just didn't like the texture. It was kind of greasy. It left a film. And then at the end of the day, the fragrance dissipated quite quickly. So we were like in parallel thinking, oh, if we were to do a solid version of our fragrance one day, what would that texture look like? How do we reinvent that? Because, you know, the stick of fragrance bomb or sticker has been around for quite some time. We purchased a bunch that are in the market, and they do leave a bit of that like waxy or oily texture just from the nature of it being a stick. And so we had already been kind of evaluating what that texture could look like to think about from a solid format. But then the whole layering concept, which we know is not new, layering has existed for a long time. There's a lot of great brands that lean into this and do beautiful fragrances for it. But we are also very conscious of price points for our consumer as well. Mm-hmm. And layering fragrances often, you know, you have to buy two of the same bottle unless you have travel sizes, twice the cost. And we want to be aware of how our pricing is positioned, even from like a perfume perspective. We really try to be aware of that and competitive and deliver a great quality product for a great price. And so we were like, we love the story of layering because she was like, you know, she never had a signature fragrance scent. And she explained this because sometimes I wake up this and sometimes I wake up and I'm feeling this way and I want to like be cozy in bed. And other times I'm like ready to go and I'm feeling fresh. And we were like, oh, what a great way of like introducing layering, but like start with the EDP, the Eau de Parfum, and like create these layering bombs in a fun, customizable way. Because also I feel like people are wanting to have their own fragrance and not just like one signature fragrance, but be able to adjust that. So we kind of took all these like piecemealed ideas of like, how do we make something that feels good, that's in a format that hasn't been used before, and then in a price conscious way that's really hitting the customizable trend. So that's where we all kind of netted out. And then the four, we netted out with four specifically was during that education process of like teaching our company, like the olfactory categories. We were like, oh, if we're living in this gourmand space, it would be nice to launch with four where the blend of, and we worked with the perfumer to like create these layering bombs that really blend well and layer well with the Eau de Parfum. So it wasn't just, hey, we want a floral fragrance and layer that on top and hope that Eros works out with the notes that are already in it. It was very intentional and trying to find the combination of fragrance accords that would work well together. And so we really out the gate were like, we wanted something in the Amber Gourmand family, the Floral family, the Fresh family, and then the Woody family. So
I feel like that covers all the bases. You can wear them on their own too, which I think is clever.
I mean, we obviously want people to wear them with the fragrance, but yes. You could totally wear them on their own.
In a pinch.
Actually, sorry if this is too like marketing pilled, but what are your thoughts on releasing the EDP and then the fragrance balms that sort of cover the main quadrants of fragrance? Do you see that sort of cannibalizing your opportunity at another EDP 2 years down the road? Or do you see it work, not to tease anything, or do you find it like maybe those could work in conjunction with that new one? Should you ever do it? I was curious about
that. I mean, we definitely thought about, okay, so we launched with this entire collection. What could this look like when we ultimately, one day perhaps, launch a second Eau de Parfum? And I feel like it gives us flexibility because who knows where Selena's scent profile will gravitate towards? Who knows where the consumer will net out? But I feel like we have a really great baseline of what someone, whether they use them alone or layered with the Eau de Parfum, can figure out, you know, what their own accord is that they like, what category they fall into. And as we develop this category for ourselves, I don't think it limits us. I think it gives us more breathing room to try something different because it's essentially we launched six different or five different fragrances out the gate, you know?
Sure.
And so when we look at the future, it could be its own capsule collection or itself, or we could try a fragrance that we think would work with these existing fragrance bonds. But seeing the excitement over them, who's to say? Maybe.
I was going to say, like, there's more balms to be made.
Not to ask, like, a very obvious question, but what I feel... No, let me not say that. They're going to clock me. But what do you think that a brand that is so established in beauty and so well-loved by the mass consumer, what do you think the benefit is of going into then fragrance, which we've seen more and more beauty brands do in recent years, and I'm sure more to come? Because I feel like the way that you shop for, wear through, and experience a fragrance is different than you would color. So what is the benefit there from like a brand perspective?
I mean, I don't think we ever envisioned it as like, oh, this is going to be a benefit for Austin any other way than bringing a piece of Selena to a degree. You know, from day one, her community has been asking for a fragrance. So we knew the appetite was there, specifically in the sense of like, oh, when we announced the launch of Vera Beauty, and it, I think maybe it was like 5 months before we actually launched, everything on Twitter was like, I hope they launch a fragrance too. So that was like a huge learning, the opportunity for us. But I think like with fragrance, you're hitting a different consumer that's always valuable, and then introducing, hopefully they become a fan of the world of Rare Beauty, and then it leads them into discovering color as well. But I think, you know, people just love the journey of makeup and beauty. And if you can find a way to personalize the makeup journey, and then you can do the same with fragrance, I think for us, it was really important for us to do it in a different way, in a different ownable way, and make sure that we weren't just launching it to launch one. We try to do every purpose and not to just like exist space. For us, it just gives us more feedback on like learning about our customer and our ever evolving customer. So
got it. I like that a lot. Yeah. Expanding the world.
So as we mentioned before, Rare Beauty, the brand launched with and commits to these mental and emotional wellness initiatives. And I'm curious, when it came to launching a fragrance, like how does that translate to the olfactive narrative, if it does? And we spoke about the design, of course, but was that something you factored in when creating the juice?
Yeah, when we first started, you know, developing fragrance, whether it was for Fine Comfort or our Eau de Perfume, I mean, we knew that there was a strong connection between fragrance and emotional and mental well-being. There is something that is inherently triggered in you, whether it's a memory or taking you and transporting you to a place that can bring levity, it can bring comfort. And that's why when we launched Fine Comfort, the line, we also launched an aromatherapy pen that is based on essential oil fragrances that are in there that really help. It's called the Stop and Soothe Calming Pen, basically. And it really was developed for, because Lena was saying, oh, I whip out my stick to just have a moment of like decompression. So we knew when we were developing Fine Comfort that, and learned that there was this link that happened with fragrance and with mental and emotional well-being. And living in the mental health space, dealing with the dexterity challenges and committing a solution to that, we have found have brought so much levity and comfort for people that deal with those that obviously translates into mental well-being as well. So, I mean, it's just a part of fragrance. We knew from the gate we were going to be launching with a new design in terms of component, which would help a community or a group of people that don't feel seen. And we're always, Selena's perspective is, I want to give provide a voice and platform for those that don't have one. And so we had learned through this design process from an occupational therapist we partner with, Dr. Esther Bay, that like something like 88% of the population will deal with a disability at some point in their lives. And that's a huge like data point to think about, whether that's losing strength or dexterity in your hands or in any other physical ailment, yet there isn't enough happening in this space and any other space to like accommodate for that. And to be able to know and see that this group of people really feel seen, I mean, that had to have helped their mental health, of course. So yeah, that's definitely...
I love awesome. That. Yeah,
that's awesome. Sick. I feel like it all coalesces. Everything that the brand does, from the packaging to the way that you speak about the fragrance development to even the way that the whole crew got the feedback on it, sort of speaks to the larger idea of Rare, which is great.
I hope that comes across. Like we like to do things with intent, and we're so committed to being in this space and creating change and bringing more resources to the mental health space. So we're really excited to be able to bring attention and light to all of that.
I remember speaking on a couple of articles. I think it was Business Insider or Wall Street Journal, and they did a piece on like how Rare Beauty is the most successful celebrity beauty brand. And the writer was just like, why? They asked me like five different ways to be like, why? God. And I was like, guys, they make quality products that perform well. They have this initiative that they contribute to. And that's like kind of it. Like, just give people quality products.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And obviously make them well designed, make them look nice. And like, sure, Selena Gomez is also like a world famous celebrity, but moreover, it's just like, make good makeup and people will buy it.
Exactly.
It's as simple as that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I thought it was really funny how she was talking about how both her and Selena didn't want to be like a trend chasing brand and didn't want to search for virality for the sake of itself. But in the same breath, they made at launch one of the most viral products unwittingly, that soft pinch blush, like redefined the blush category for all of these
brands. But they weren't chasing a trend.
No, of course. Yeah. They made a really good product at the right time and it really caught. So it's like, you can't manufacture that.
No, that's the thing. It's just like, just make good products and also ask people who actually wear makeup to vet it. Not people who don't like to wear makeup. Not people who are like, here's my 5-minute face. No, don't ask those people because they're not going to know how to use that blush and it's going to scare them and they're going to be like, this is too crazy.
Exactly. Like I always say, all these marketers spend a lot of time talking about the consumer, but never to the consumer.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And everyone's like, is it so popular because something Selena Gomez? And I'm like, not as much, honestly, because I think people have a lot of skepticism and cynicism about celebrity beauty launches. Like everyone now is expected to launch some sort of beauty line. And at this point, it's like everyone's just cynical about it. And they said they launched 5 years ago. So that was like smack dab in the middle of the pandemic, which is like actually crazy to think about, like to launch a makeup brand in the middle of a pandemic when makeup was not it. Like skincare was it. So the fact that they are as successful as they are is just a testament to like really good product development.
Totally. Yeah. And I mentioned it before, but the launch got eyes because of Selena, of course. But
yeah, of course.
I feel like its success is truly due to the product itself.
Yeah. I feel like if it was like it is a Kendo brand, but if Sephora launched it as just, I don't know, some random Sephora incubated brand, it still would have done well because the products are good.
Products are great.
That's it. Just make good shit.
I'm excited to see what's next in terms of where to go after this, after the first rare fragrance. What is the second? And, you know, we know nothing. I know that we mentioned a second. That's just as ripping because that's what we do.
I wouldn't be surprised if they launched a body line with this scent. I feel like that's what people are going to want because when people love a scent, they want it in multiple iterations.
Yeah.
It did make me, as we were speaking about it, I was like, I should check out that body line again. I want those.
Yeah. What? I know that we've talked about this, but we've already checked a few boxes. What other beauty brands do you want to see launch a fragrance?
Ooh. I do have opinions on this. And of course, I'm not prepped, but I'm like, who do I like? I love Say. I use a lot of Say products.
Say is my first pick too. Yeah.
But I'm like, if you do it, which they might be doing it, I'm like, please don't make it like the Merit fragrance.
You said it, not me.
And I think... Not that they compare each other. I think people compare Merit and Say just because the sort of ethos, function, use, and style and color palettes are a little bit similar.
I would throw Kosas in the mix too.
Oh, true. Kosas has a different vibe to me. Kosas is a little more like laid back, a little bit more like California surfer girl to me.
Kosas is LA. Say is New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the Say formulas more than I like the Merit formulas. I did like the Merit fragrance. It's not a me fragrance, but I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Like, cool. And the bottle is beautiful. But yeah, I think a Say fragrance would be great. They do great accessories. I love all their little training cases, little brush holders. I love their brushes. They're the only complexion brushes I use.
Really?
Yeah, they're really good.
Those dense-ass kabuki brushes?
Not those. I use the double-ended fluffy brush. And then
nice.
Yeah. Okay. And then they have this dense blush brush for cream formulas.
That wouldn't work for me. That blush beat my ass. I would never again. I have to proceed with caution. Thank you, Joyce, for coming on Smell You Later. Huge honor to have you and have such a transparent conversation about the inner workings of such a massive brand. And if you're asking me, I think this launch is a huge success.
You can find us at our website, smellyoulater.live, where you can leave us a voice note at our hotline. You can follow us on Instagram. We're at smellyoulater.mp3. I am at Sableteeth Tikra.
I'm at Tenon Buck, and until next time, we will
smell you later.